Anti-vaxxers have been spreading false fears about vaccination since the pandemic began. But health officials are worried about doubters with a well-founded distrust of the medical community, which experimented first on slaves and into the last century on Black Americans. A survey by the COVID-19 Collaborative found only 14% of Black Americans said they thought a coronavirus vaccine would be safe. Studies show Black and Latino communities face disproportionate exposure to the virus, living largely in urban areas, and the CDC says they're more likely to get infected, get sick, or die.
We affirm that Black lives matter. And as Black health professionals, we have a higher calling to stand for racial justice and to fight for health equity.
Well, health professionals in the Black Coalition Against COVID-19 are reaching out. In this PSA, they say vaccine makers have to earn the trust of Black Americans, but
we also ask you to join us in participating in clinical trials and taking a vaccine once it's proven safe and effective. We know that our collective role in helping to create a vaccine that works for Black people and that we trust has an impact on our very survival.
Good evening, everybody. I'm Reverend Liz Walker, pastor of Roxbury Presbyterian Church.
The Reverend Liz Walker in Boston went a step further. She organized a Zoom meeting and invited Dr. Anthony Fauci, who came and took her questions.
In my community, which is a poorer community, a marginalized community, and a community that is disproportionately represented by COVID victims, I know those numbers are higher in my community. So what do you say to these people? How are you persuading people to take these vaccines?
I think what one needs to do is to try and find out, is it a broad generic reason, a distrust of the medical establishment because of the history of the abuse, particularly of the African-American community, with things that date back as far as Tuskegee and Henrietta Lacks issues? Or is it something about the process of the speed with which this vaccine was developed and somewhat of the mixed signals that one has been getting in this divisive society from Washington?
So what is the problem? The Reverend Walker joins us now. And Reverend Liz, why did you even do this Zoom call?
I was really surprised at how many parishioners, how many people, not just in the church, but in the community, said they weren't going to take the vaccine, the distrust. So I wanted to do something about that because I, you know, sincerely believe we need to take it.
By the way, did people cite the Tuskegee Project of the 1930s? Black men were experimented on and not given treatment for syphilis. Some may have had grandparents who lived through that. Or Henrietta Lacks, doctors harvested her cancer cells, companies made millions, never told her family. We've also seen the sterilization of Black women in gynecological research.
Everybody cited Tuskegee. That's a story that has been in my community for generations, so that's not a new story to us. But people were also talking about their personal experiences with healthcare. We have a program for people who have suffered trauma through violence or, you know, abuse and neglect. And those people said they would never, ever take a vaccine because they had been abused, they had been neglected, they had been ignored, they had been disrespected. So many personal experiences of going to a hospital or going to a doctor and feeling that you're not being taken seriously. So people are saying, no, we're not going to do it. I think it also speaks to the larger issue of this summer, this horrible summer with the shootings of Black men, the injustice there, the idea that Black people are disproportionately affected by COVID. It's, you know, it's ironic, but the very reason that we, you know, we feel we're getting sicker is because we feel we haven't been properly dealt with in the healthcare arena. So all of these add up to distrust, and people just don't want to do it. Now, you add to that the political situation. So you have a perfect storm of problems in my community of wanting to take this vaccine. They are very real. They are embedded, and they won't easily be pulled out.
Well, but you have made this attempt. You had this forum with Dr. Fauci. By the way, did you just call him?
I called his office. I can't even explain it even now what happened. In my tradition, I say this is a God thing. That's the only way I can describe it because I emailed his assistant. His assistant got right back to me the next day. I was shocked. It was just, let's try it. But who knew it was going to, work out that way?
Well, I'll comment on that in a moment. But you started this evening at the point where Dr. Fauci is there. You turn and asked him the question of the night. What would he say to Black people? Dr. Fauci went on to talk about the safety of the vaccine, how the studies are reviewed, said that he and his family would be willing to get these vaccines. But pick up on what he said. The people you're speaking of in your community, these aren't anti-vaxxers by and large. And there are many white people who are also wondering about the safety of these vaccines. Given that there is a distrust because this vaccine has been fast-tracked by this administration, you alluded to this, the politics of this, we can dispassionately say President Trump often lies.
I think that really feeds into it. I think that just adds to the distrust about the vaccine. There is a growing distrust about everything in this country. I don't think it's limited to African Americans or people of color. I think it's across culture, across race. And that has to be fixed. We have to approach that. I thought Dr. Fauci was wonderful when he talked about transparency. He explained that there's a depth of testing and a depth of kind of a checks and balances among the scientists that goes beyond politics. And that was the thing he said that touched me, that there are people who are doing this. It has nothing to do with politics. They're not even close to the political level of this. That gave me a little bit more confidence. So I think he addressed it directly. But it's a deep problem. It is a deep problem.
You've spoken to people since the forum. Were they swayed?
I've spoken to a few people who are, yes, a little swayed. And some people thought they had more to think about. I also think that as this goes on and the vaccine is given out and people begin to see what's happening and get responses from other people who have taken it, I think that's going to change minds too. But I think it takes a little of all of that to really, change people's minds. And it's going to take some time for some people who said they will never take it.
Yeah. Well, look, the FDA reportedly sat with comments that a research group had from Black Americans talking about how they felt about the vaccine. They looked at these comments. We're not going to be guinea pigs again. Remember Tuskegee. So the government is aware of it. And as we said, Black leaders are aware of it. The Black Coalition Against COVID-19 was co-founded by leaders, including Howard University's president, a doctor. Two presidents of historically Black schools have announced they are test subjects in vaccination trials. Is this part of it too? Will you, Reverend Liz, roll up your sleeve and maybe take a shot publicly?
Absolutely. I've been thinking about that a lot because that is really where the rubber meets the road. But I think it's going to take that kind of leadership. And after all, that's what I'm supposed to be as a preacher. Yeah. So I think I will do it. A lot of other people are stepping up to this plate, and that gives me inspiration. So I think the more of us that do it, the more it'll continue and then change may come. I say that with hope, great hope.
I have to make an observation and a disclosure. We've known each other for a while. Before you were a wildly popular pastor, you were a wildly popular news anchor. You walked away to go to divinity school. And Liz, it's striking me that you are perfectly positioned to get out not just the good news, but this life-saving medical news.
I absolutely feel that call. And that was affirmed for me by something that Dr. Fauci said. We asked him, how he handles all of the abuse and persecution he's personally taken. And he said, he didn't use the language of call, which is the language of my tradition, but he did say this was his purpose. This was his meaning. This was what this is what he got up out of bed for, to pass, to get the word out and to do his job. And I feel very much connected to that. This was not something I had set, I sat down, Robin, and said, I'm going to do this. It kind of just developed, and I'm humbled to be a part of it.
Well, and none of us are surprised that your call to Dr. Fauci ended up in his agreeing to be part of your event. And you asked him at the end of the evening, his part, to speak to, as you put it, your community. We want to listen to some of that. Let's listen.
I, over the last almost a year, have witnessed the disproportionate suffering that your community has gone through. It is something that is really extraordinarily unfortunate. And the reasons for that I do hope when this is all over, we address, namely the social determinants of health and the inequities that you've been faced with essentially forever. I totally understand what you've been through, and I plead with you that we as a community, your community, the community that we all live in, can do something about this if we abide by the public health measures and get vaccinated. Don't deprive yourself of the advantage of an extraordinarily important advance in science by not getting vaccinated. Protect yourselves, your family, and your community.
Dr. Anthony Fauci speaking at a forum organized by the Reverend Liz Walker and her colleague, Reverend Gloria White Hammond, from the Roxbury Presbyterian Church in Boston. We'll link you to the event at hereandnow.org. Liz, Reverend Walker, thank you.
Robin, thank you.